Boker Tov, good morning.
Very excited to travel today together with you to Yericho. There is an enormous amount of discussion of Yericho in Chazal, in archaeological literature, and of course, oh, there's space down here with sheets right here. And of course, in the Chumash, there are many episodes, as some of you are familiar with, about this city which was conquered by Yehoshua and the Jewish people when they first entered Eretz Yisrael. We're going to focus today on a particular aspect of Yericho, which of course relates to us in certain ways, but maybe focuses on certain aspects of the city that are important to address, even though they're not maybe the most well-known, or maybe there's something surprising or unusual here. So I actually want to start from the end, so to speak. From the end of the story of the conquest of Yericho, which appears, you have here in source number one, the pasuk says in Yehoshua that there is a special commandment, V'haysa ha'ir cherem, the land, the city, this place should be cherem. Cherem means it should be a ban. V'chol asher bo la'Hashem, and everything should be devoted for God. So when the Jewish people conquered the city of Yericho, they destroyed everything except for the gold and silver specific valuables that they donated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the service of the temple. And we wonder to ourselves, why is it? Let's focus on this end of the story. The end of the story of the conquest of Yericho is that it's completely razed. So why is that? There's no other city in the conquest of the land of Israel that the Torah records that we are supposed to completely destroy. It's supposed to be Cherem La'Hashem. So I want to understand why. Not only that, is it that this place is supposed to be totally destroyed, there is a special curse, Lo Aleinu. There is a curse, Yehoshua puts, on anybody who builds the city. And what happens? That curse is fulfilled. There is a description here in source number 2 in Malachim Aleph, in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. B'yamav bana Chiel beis ha'eli es Yericho. Chiel, from this house of Eli, built Yericho. Ba'aviram b'choro yista, with the life of his oldest child, Aviram, he put the foundations. Uvisguv tziro hitziv delosel. And with the life of his youngest child, his name was Seguv, he set up the doors. Meaning he completed the walls. So all of his children died, from his oldest to his youngest, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin notes the psychology of this, the incredible, shocking nature of this person who began the project of building the city of Yericho, knowing that there was a curse, and persisted until all of his children had died. It's a crazy thing, but that's for another discussion. So not only is the city of Yericho meant to be destroyed, it's also, the Gemara says, meant never to be rebuilt. Now, Chiel does rebuild it, and then there's a discussion, once it's being rebuilt, is it permitted to resettle once it's being rebuilt? And the assumption is yes. If you look on the top right of the page, you see a photograph. This is from the late 19th century, a view of Yericho. And then on the top left, this is a satellite image, although it didn't come out so great in the print. You see the Yam HaMelech in the middle at the bottom, that's in the very dark on the satellite. And you see through the middle is the Yarden, the Jordan, flowing. And to the left of that, you see that little circle dot? That's Yericho. That's the precise location. And we're trying to figure out, why is it that the city was going to be destroyed? Why is it that nobody was allowed to take anything from this city? And it's interesting to note the specific language in the Navi of what did Chiel build? He built a city, but specifically he built the foundations and he built the gates, the walls. What is it about the walls and the gates of Jericho and the foundations of Jericho that is significant? That's what we want to think about. That this becomes a significant controversy for archaeologists. There's a huge archaeological controversy, which is referenced in a lot of literature, this publication called Bar. There are several articles. There was a longtime editor of the Biblical Archaeological Review, which is a Biblical Archaeology Review, which is a publication that deals with all kinds of developments in the world of archaeology and exploration. So there are several articles in it's Mechuna Bar, B-A-R. So if you ask a librarian, you ask them for this is a famous thing, right?
I'm the librarian.
Good. Okay, so Shoshana says that it's true, so it's definitely true, right? Okay. So there is a controversy in the archaeological chevra among these guys. When can they date the destruction of the walls of Jericho to? There's a big controversy, and it's referenced in several articles here. Now, we're not going to get involved in the archaeological controversy, partly of which I'm not capable of addressing that from any type of substantive way. I haven't done the research. But also because, in a certain sense, it doesn't really matter, because whether they're off by 200 years or 100 years, this is not a particular precise science, although, of course, they use scientific methods. But there are a lot of projections when you're talking about studying and dating antiquities. So if it's 1550 or if it's 1400 or if it's 1250, there may be other factors that I don't know about. So we're not going to hinge our understanding of the Tanakh on the archaeology, although it's certainly nice when the archaeology fits with our understanding of Tanakh. The reason why I bring this up is, A, you should be aware that there is a big machlokas about this, and if you're sitting on a plane sometime, and you sit next to somebody, and they're like, hey, you know, I heard that the walls of Jericho were destroyed in 1550 BCE, not 1250 when Joshua got there, you could be like, okay, I know there is an issue about that, but I'm not qualified to talk about it, I could share something else about Jericho with you. Right. That happens sometimes. So you should be equipped for that. But the bigger issue is that what the archaeologists are finding are ruins of enormous walls. They have a particular structure. I believe they're called, I'm going to totally butcher this name, Cycloptean walls. It's a particular style that is especially found in certain places in Greece. It was attributed in Greece to ancient Greek mythology of a giant figure who could build in such a manner, because you could only imagine giants could build such buildings. Well, what's that?
The Cyclops.
Exactly, yeah. The Cyclops, which is an ancient Greek myth. Well, according to the Chumash, who lived in Canaan in the ancient times? Giants. Giants. When the Meraglim came, they saw this place must be inhabited by giants. They saw enormous, enormous walls. So what are they unearthing? So the argument is about when the walls were destroyed, but what they're finding is that there were huge, thick, cycloptean walls at the site of the excavations of Jericho. And I'm still thinking, what is it about these walls? So we need to think about that. That's going to be our goal, is to figure out why so much of Jericho is about the walls and the destruction of Jericho. Fair question? Okay. So to do that, I want to take a total step back and think about a Gemara in Masechta Brachos, which you have on the page in source number 3. It's a Rashi, where the Gemara wants to know, what bracha do we recite on smelling Shemen Afar Simon? Now, in modern day Hebrew, Afar Simon is persimmon, And if you're, I guess, of a certain age or a certain palate, or, you know, my grandmother, Allah Shalom, she used to try to convince me to eat that particular thing. Apparently, some people like it, I guess. Okay, like I said, no, good, good, okay. Not taking that away. It's not salami, but okay. So the Gemara wants to know, apparently Afar Simon has a very good smell. Now, I don't know if that is true of a modern-day persimmon, if it's the same thing, but apparently Afar Simon has a good smell, and the Gemara has a Shiloh. What if you make oil from the Afar Simon, you make persimmon oil, assuming that it's a persimmon in Talmudic times, what bracha do you say on that? So the Gemara says you actually have a special bracha called Baruch Shemen Artzeinu. It's a blessing over the shemen of our land. Beautiful. Why is the blessing on Shemen Afar Simon blesses God who gave us the oil of our land? So Rashi explains. Take a look at this Rashi. Rashi says, Mishcha da Afar Simon mai mevarchin al recho, on its smell. Source number three. Shemen Artzeinu shahaya gadel biyericho. Because Afar Simonim used to be growing in Yericho. Va'al shem hareach nikra Yericho. And the word Yericho, what we call in English Jericho, is from the word reach. Exactly. If you look in the encyclopedia, in the Oxford Encyclopedia of Archaeology, Tel El Es Sultan, ancient Jericho, inherited its name from one word, which we're going to get to later. The term might be also to the modern Arabic name of the city. What is the modern Arabic name of Yericho? Ar-Richa, which is translated as scent or fragrant. In connection with the flowers of the oasis and with the ointments and perfumes produced here in Hellenistic and Roman times. That's right. So the word Yericho really comes from the word reach. So Rashi says, Vahu feneg ha'omer b'sefer Yechezkel. This is something that's called feneg in the book of Yechezkel. Yehuda ve'eretz Yisrael heim rochlin b'chite manis ufeneg kach ra'isi b'sefer Yosef ben Gurion. This is who I saw in the book of Yosef ben Gurion. We probably call this man Josephus. So Rashi quotes a tradition that Yericho is called based on the name of Reach, of scent, and that there was a tradition that these, I guess, fragrant plants, herbs, fruits grew in the area of Yericho. Where is Yericho situated? So look back on that on that map, on the satellite map. Where is it? It's in a low-lying area where it's very dry, so it would be hospitable for these types of citrus or more dry climate type of places. What else grows in Yericho, though it's not related to this? Another way it's also related. Today, you drive down the Bikha Sayarde in the Jordan Valley, which is where Yericho is. What will you find zillions of? What's that? Dates. Yericho is referred to in Tanakh as Ir HaTamarim. Tamars are dates. We figured that out last week. We also find, right, the date palm trees. We also find those kind of dry climate trees. So Yericho is called Reach. But it's not just that the word Reach and they had Afar Simonim that were hanging out in this area. It's much more than that. Take a look. There is a Mishnah. Take a look in source number 4. The Mishnah in Maseches Tamid. Mi Yericho. From Yericho, Hayushomin Kol Shar Hagadol Sheniftach. From Yericho, they used to hear the sound of the doors opening in the Beis Hamikdash in the morning. Mi Yericho Hayushomin Kol HaMagrefa. There was a particular instrument that was called a magrefa that they would hear. So we're going to talk about this from the Beis HaMikdash standpoint in a minute, but I want to focus more on the last line. Am Rabbi Elazar ben Diglai. Skip to the last line in section 4. Izim hayu lebeis Abba bahar michvar, v'hayu mis'at shos me'reach pitom haktoris. I grazed sheep in this area called Har Michvar, and they would smell, I guess the wool from the sheep that they would shear, would smell from the reach, the scent of the Ketores. Why? Because in the previous line, the Mishnah says, Miyericho hayu meirichim reach pitom haketores. From Yericho, they would smell the reach of the Ketores. There's a Gemara in Tanis. You don't have it in front of you. The Gemara in Tanis says that women in Yericho did not need to wear perfume because the scent of the ketores, of the incense, was so strong that it would flow through the air and it would permeate. I can't see everybody. I'm going to have to stand. This is not working. It would permeate the atmosphere, I guess, specifically of Yericho, which is interesting, which we're going to get to why in a second, more than a second. But the women in Yericho did not require lehizbasim. The Gemara says also, Kala shebirushalayim eina tzrich leizkashi mireach haktoris. If you were getting married in Yerushalayim, you also wouldn't need to put on makeup, meaning, in this case, lehizkashet doesn't mean makeup like I don't know, eyeliner. It means, what do you call it?
Perfume.
Because of the ketores. So there is this special connection in context of other things which we'll talk about in a second, that Yericho has the reach, the smell, not just of the local fragrant aromatics that are grown there, but also of the reach of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is reach associated with Yericho? Fair question? Okay, so we have to figure out the walls, and we have to figure out what Yericho has to do with a sense of smell.
Rabbi Brandon?
Yeah.
In the English it says they would sneeze.
The sheep would misachos. Lehit atesh, yes.
They would sneeze from the smell of the incense.
Yes.
So that's not a positive.
Right, that just means that it was filling the air, right. Misachos means they would sneeze. I apologize. That's right. 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 So I want to go back that allergies. I want to go back to the first part of this Mishnah and try to understand what's happening here. Why is it that from Yericho they could hear the sound of the doors opening of the Beis HaMikdash in the morning? Why is that significant?
It's pretty far away.
It is far away. The Gemara says the expression is that Yericho was 10 parsa from Yerushalayim. Now if you look on the map, it's not super, super clear. Can you see it? Can you see where Yerushalayim is on the southwest? There's Yericho is kind of toward the middle. The Ramallah is to the left. South of Ramallah, you see Mevaseret Tzion, then you see where it says Jerusalem on the map. All right, it's a little bit hard to read. It didn't come out so great. But Yericho and Yerushalayim, according to the Gemara, is 10 parsa. Now, 10 parsa doesn't necessarily mean that's a geographic measure. That's a distance that Chazal used as a general measuring stick to indicate a certain amount of distance. So they would hear the opening of the doors. They would hear the sound of the magrefa, which was a particular instrument. Number 3, Mi Yericho ha Yushomim kol ha'etz sha'asa ben katan mutchani lakir. Now, the thing is, they had a giant washing station. It was called the Kiar. But the giant washing station, for halachic reasons that beyond the purview of our discussion today, it needed to be lowered into the original source of water. It couldn't be left out overnight. So they had a guy, even the Beis HaMikdash, they had a guy. This guy was named Ben Katan, and he's remembered for posterity because he came up with an einfall. Probably because he was very handy. So you have to identify. If you can find a Jew who's handy, you're going to put him in the Mishnah. You know what I mean? So he figured out if you can create some kind of pulley system, he made some kind of wooden pulley system that would attach to the kior, which was the washing station. It would lift it up through the crank. They would crank it up, pick it up, and then lower it down into the water. because there was a water stream that was in the Azara. Mm-hmm. Every night they would lower it down, and then every night they would take it out. The thing is that this crank made a huge noise. Every morning they would crank it up, take it out, and set it back so the Kohanim could wash their hands before they do the Avodah.
The Jews aren't bad.
Well, right, they didn't.
It was a good idea.
Right, it was a great idea. The execution they're working on. So it was very noisy. So the Mishnah says they could hear the sound of this machine. Muchani is a wheel that was used for the pulley system. Muchani usually has the connotation of a wheel, some kind of mechanical wheel. It appears elsewhere in Shas. Furthermore, they would hear the voice of Gvini Karuz, who was calling out. And he was saying, hey, wake up! Or, you know, whatever he was informing people. Mi'iricha yishomer kol hechalil. What is a chalil? Probably a flute, some kind of pipe wind instrument. They could hear it from Yericho. They could also hear the tzilzal and the kol of the shir and the shofar. So this Mishnah has, for those who are learning Daf Yomi, for the Daf Yomi folks, this is either you just learned this Mishnah or you're about to learn this Mishnah. You learned it already. So when you learn this Mishnah, do you wonder yourself, why Yericho? There are other cities that are in similar proximity to Yerushalayim, and yet Yericho seems to be identified specifically as the target, and as we'll see, there is a specific reason.
Hebron.
What's that?
Why not Hebron?
Right, it could have been Hebron. We said Barkai, they see the morning light in Hebron, but these phenomena are connected to Yericho. Yeah?
Because of the thickness of the walls and the sound reverberating.
Well, at this point, there are no walls.
Right.
Oh. The walls are gone.
It's supposed to be not even there, right?
Yes. Yeah, theoretically, it's not there, but it is rebuilt and it is resettled. There's a lot of discussion in Chazal, as we mentioned at the outset. There's a ton of discussion in Chazal about Yericho. There were a lot of interesting halachic practices that took place in Yericho, some of which were accepted by the sages and some of which were rejected. There are many stories about Yericho. There are a lot of essays, by the way, in putting together this year, Amak Yotov, to so many different svarim. There are essays by Rabbi Yisrael Rosen, Zichar Tzadik Levracha, and Lahavdil, by this Rabbi Naaman and Rabbi Hendler. There are a lot of people are talking about Yericho. There's a lot. So why is this Mishnah identifying the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash with Yericho? Think about that for a second. Yeah?
Maybe it's because that was the actual transformation when Israel was in the
Oh,
Israel.
Good.
They became a nation with a land.
Okay, so we're going to have to figure out what exactly of that transition point is significant. Yes. It's interesting that when Yehoshua is met, when they're surrounding, when they're ready to conquer Yericho, he's met by an angel. What does the angel tell Yehoshua to do in this place? Anybody remember? We're going to get around the city, but what does Yehoshua have to do? He comes to him and says, Ani Sar Tzva Hashem Ata Basi. He tells Yehoshua, Shalna Alecha Me'al Raglecha, take off your shoes. Ki Admas Kodesh. Wait a second. He's standing outside Yericho. Where else does somebody stand with no shoes?
Moshe Rabbeinu
at Har Sinai, but today you can go to Har Sinai, no problem with shoes. Right? That's at Har Sinai, but who can't wear shoes? In the Beis HaMikdash, right? In the Beis HaMikdash, you can't wear shoes. You have to be directly connected to the ground. So there is this developing parallel between the place of Yericho and the Beis HaMikdash. The Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash in terms of what they heard and saw and smelled in Yericho, but also Yehoshua, when he got there, he was told, oh, this is Admas Kodesh, take off your shoes. It's like being in the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at this Gemara and Tanis later, number 5. Tana Rabbanan. We have a Braisa. Esrim Va'arba Mishmaros. There were 24 orders. Mishmaros means groups of Kohanim who would serve in a rotating basis. There were 24 groups of Kohanim. Be'eretz Yisrael. Ushtem Esrei B'Yericho. And 12 groups were in Yericho. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? There were only 24 in total. How come there be 24 in Yericho and then 12 there? So the Gemara says, no. What it means is the following. Ella, second line, Shtemesre mehen b'Yericho. There were 12 of them who would be in Yericho. What does that mean? It says the following. Higiyas mana mishmar. When it was time for your group to go up, la'alos, chatzia mishmar haya olam me'eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim, v'chatzia mishmar haya olam mi'Yericho. So they had a split between Kohanim who would be coming from Yericho and Kohanim who would come from other places in Israel. Because Yericho was a point of departure for Kohanim to prepare for Avoda for their Mishmar. So now we have a connection to Yericho from the Beis HaMikdash in terms of them hearing the Avoda and sensing the Avoda. But not only that, the Kohanim themselves would be connected. Some of them would be going from other places. Some of them would be coming dafka from Yericho, because Yericho is the point of departure to do the avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it that this is connected to the Beis HaMikdash? So we have the mystery of the walls. We want to understand why it's associated with Reach, and we want to understand what Yericho has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps all of this needs to be solved with one medrash, which you have here in number 7. Medrash says in Bamidbar Rabbah, Kishibol lehilachem b'Yericho, when Yehoshua went to take on Yericho, to battle Yericho, which, as we remember from our Tanakh, was the first city that they conquered in Eretz Yisrael. So if you go back just on this first side, if you look on the satellite map, it's in this low area opposite Arvos Moav, which was geographically a very good location to enter the land in terms of a battle strategy. So they're going to enter the land of Israel over the Jordan, right at the spot of Yericho. It's a perfect place. Kishabali lachem b'Yericho, niskansu l'Yericho sheva umos. According to the Medrash, all 7 Canaanite nations gathered together into this one city. That's the Medrash. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in Yehoshua, later on, when it describes how Yehoshua conquered the land, Vatabra Sayardin Vatavo El Yericho, you crossed the Jordan, you came to Yericho, Fayilachem Bubachem, and who fought with you? Baal Yericho, the people of Yericho. Who were the people of Yericho? The Amori, and the Prizi, and the Kanani, and the Chiti, and the Girgashi, and the Chivi, and Yevusi. Vo'atenu sambiyadchem. What do you mean? V'chisheva umos hayu ba'ale Yericho. Yericho was one city with one group of Amorim. But the Medrash says, no. When the people heard that the Jews were coming, all the 7 Canaanite nations sent either emissaries, or they all came, and they all put themselves in Yericho for this epic battle. Yes?
Unless all the best kosher restaurants were there, you don't go to the low place for battle. So it's a bit strange.
Strange, right? And what does it mean? Does it mean historically that all these nations were all actually in there? Does this medrash mean to say that all of the other Canaanite nations vacated their cities and all came to be in Yericho? I mean, where would they even fit? So maybe it means they sent agents to go there. What's going on? So now the Medrash tells you the secret. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Yericho Nagra Shel Eretz Yisrael. In Mishnei Hebrew, in Talmudic Hebrew, a nagar, well today, what is a nagar?
Carpenter.
A carpenter, exactly. So in the Mishnayos, when you talk about nagra, you're talking about a wooden door lock. So nagra means, I guess today, what would you call it? A bolt? A wooden bolt? Yericho was the bolt of the land of Israel. It was the wooden door stopper. It was the wooden lock. Im nichbisha Yericho, if Yericho is conquered, miyad kol haaretz nichbeshes. Immediately, the rest of the land is going to follow. Lafiha, therefore, niskan sut lesocha shava umos. The other Canaanite nations understood that, wait a second, Jericho is the front line, but essentially that is the breach point of the land of Israel. And if Jericho falls, it's over for all of us. So what we're saying now is that on one level, in a certain sense, Jericho actually encapsulates all of Eretz Israel. Once you conquer Jericho, you've got everything, because it's all going to follow suit. That's why they came there. But now I understand also why the walls are so significant in Jericho, the fortifications. Because this is the Nagra de Eretz Israel. This is the lock. And so the walls symbolize the fortifications of the whole land. And so the Canaanite people who lived there, even before the people who were there when Yahushua got there, these walls are ancient of ancient. This is one of the most ancient cities in all of the world, in all of the ancient Near East. Jericho is ancient, gigantic, enormous walls. Because everybody understood, this is the Nagra Shel Eretz Yisrael. This is the lock point. Because Jericho is mechuven like all of Eretz Yisrael. Well, what is the shorish of Eretz Yisrael? What is the heart of it? What is the central point? Yerushalayim. And what's the central point? The eye of Yerushalayim? It's the Beis HaMikdash. So yes, when they got to Jericho, it looked like a city. But Yahushua understood, it's not Stam a city. This is the city that's called all of Eretz Yisrael, and specifically Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. When they conquered Jericho, they really conquered the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at this, Rived. Yes?
It gives us a new perspective. Joshua and the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. It's not only the physical wall, the wall that breaks into all of the enemies.
You got it. So we could stop now, or we could develop that a little bit. So we have a few minutes, so with your permission, we'll develop that. Yes. Yes, because you notice we did not start with the story of the walls falling down, because that's the stuff that's known to us. That's the psukim. Everybody knows that story. It's iconic, but now we have so much of a different appreciation for it. So, but I want to, before we get to that, which is the last source, that's the source number 9, I want to look together this Ravid. Rav Avraham ben Dovra Poskir, the famous Baal HaSogos, many people know him from the glosses that he wrote on Rambam, on Maimonides, but he was a towering giant of Provence in the 13th century, and he wrote many other works, including a commentary on the Mishnayos Tumid. Daf Yomi, folks, did you ever quote this, the Ravid, on...
We're going so fast, we're not
all right, so now you get a little bonus. Look at what the Ravid writes. I tried to make it bigger, but I had to take a picture of it and put it on the page. He quotes from Mori Harav HaChassid Zal. So I don't know who specifically this Mori Harav HaChassid Zal, the Ravid, Rav Avram ben David of Poskier, was a student of Rav Avram ben Yitzchak, the Av Bezen of Narbonne, which might be who he's referring to, but I'm not 100% certain. So he quotes this. Dekol Hanach Diktani Shayu Nishmoim B'Yericho, everything that it says in the Mishnah, that they could hear this from Jericho, right? They heard the song, they heard the word from the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim would say the Shema Meforish, they heard it in Jericho, they heard the noise from the mechanical crank of Ben Katan. Maise Nisim Hayu. It was a miracle. V'dafka Hayu B'Yericho Nishma. V'lo B'Shar Tzadim, and not on other sides. You could have been saying... Right? You could have been, I guess, I don't know, we have to look with a measuring tape. Is Kever Rachel closer to Yerushalayim or is Jericho?
No, Kever Rachel.
Right? Yep, yep. Much closer. But it doesn't say that they could hear in Kever Rachel. You think about it. If it's sound, it should travel equidistantly, according in all directions. But the Ravid says he heard from his teacher, the Gaon HaChassid. That's not true. There was a special link between Yerushalayim and Jericho.
Which way did the winds travel?
Well, that I don't know. I don't know.
But sounds in the mountain do go
but
to the low
places.
But
it doesn't matter because that would be the same direction.
And it would be places in the area. Let's say if you were going through Pisgat Zev or I don't know where.
Male Adumim.
So he says, V'lo b'shar tzadim. Why? Mipnei, says the Ravid, Sheyericho Haisa Kamo Yerushalayim. Because Yericho is like Yerushalayim. Why? Mipnei Shehi Haisa Tchilas Kibush Eretz Yisrael. It was from the beginning of the conquering of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, just like when it comes to Truma, you take the first piece of your, your bushel, let's say, and you give it to the Kohen. You give that first little piece. That's the first Truma you take. Kumo de Trumas Dagon Tzorach Litrom Kein Nitrama Eretz Yisrael Atzma. And that's why B'Shvil Kach Hitrima Yoshua Lios Kodesh LaHashem. Yoshua gave that as Truma Kodesh LaHashem. Yericho being the opening of the land is Mechuvan, like the Beis HaMikdash, like Yerushalayim, and it's the Truma LaHashem. Just like Yerushalayim is Kodesh, Yericho is Kodesh. Are you allowed to use Kodesh for your own personal purposes? So what did Yoshua tell the people? He says, don't touch it. It's not ours. This is Admas Kodesh. He says, I'm not wearing shoes because this is like Yerushalayim. Because when we conquer Yericho, we're going to be conquering Yerushalayim. No shoes. Go back to this Medrash in the Sifri in number 6. Mamish, so much of this learning, I was totally flabbergasted, mind blown. Look at this Medrash. The Sifri says that Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisro, he says to him, come with us. We're going to do good for you, Yisro. Right? Jethro! That brings back many memories. Jethro, we're going to take care of you because you took care of us. What are we going to do to take care of you? Well, he had descendants who lived in the land of Israel. Where did the descendants of Yisro live in the land of Israel? So the Medrash tells you the following. Ma tove tivulo, omrlo. Kishahayu Yisrael Mechalkim, source number 6, Mechalkim is Ta'aretz, when the people divided up the land, Hinichu Dushna Shol Yericho Chamesh Meos Ama Al Chamesh Meos Ama. They left a patch of land 500 Amas by 500 Amas. So wait a second. Some of you are thinking, what else is measured out as 500 Amas by 500 Amas? That's right. The Beis HaMikdash, the Temple Mount, the Mishnah says, was 500 Amos by 500 Amos. So now you're not surprised. But when I saw this, I was surprised. Isn't that interesting? They said that there's going to be a piece of land that's 500 Amos by 500 Amos. It's called Yericho. And they're going to give it away to who? So they're going to give it to Yonadav ben Rechab, who are descendants of Yisro. But they had a condition. Amale, second line, call me Shivna Beis HaBechir B'chelko, whoever will build the Beis HaMikdash in their portion, Yitol Dushna Shol Yericho, will take this beautiful portion of Yericho. Nasnu Leonadav Ben Recho Chelek Barosh, V'yo'ochlin Oso Arba Me'o Shana V'arboam Shana. They would eat it, they lived there for 440 years. Shenemar V'yi Bishmonim Kishmonim Shana Baba Mil Shana Letzis Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim Selam take out 40 years Shalchu Bamidbar Nimtzu Ochlim Oso Arbaim Shana Baba Mil Shana. But what happened? Vekevan Shesharsa Shchina Bechelko Shol Binyamin. Bottom line, Bo Bnei Binyamin Litol Chelkam and Binu Oso Mipneim Shenemar Ubnei Keni Chosim Moshe Vechule. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yisro, you guys did us a favor, so we're going to pay you back that favor, but that favor is not forever. Whose portion is to the east of Yerushalayim and a little bit to the north? You go there today, it's called Binyamin. So this area of Binyamin is going to go from a little bit north of Yericho down to Shevet Yehuda, right smack in the middle of Yerushalayim. Whose portion is the Beis HaMikdash in? Half in Yehuda and half in Binyamin. The Mizbeach was in the Chelek of Binyamin. The Aron, the Kruvim, the Heichal, that was all in the Chelek of Binyamin. So the Medrash says that Binyamin was told that when you go into the land, you're going to get compensated because there is a parallel to giving up giving up this special, beautiful land, which is the parcel of the Beis HaMikdash. you're going to be given a land swap for somewhere else. Well, where is the land swap if you are the owner, so to speak, of the portion in the Beis HaMikdash? It's going to be in Yericho. Because Yericho is the parallel to the Mokom HaMikdash.
But they can't build it.
Why couldn't they build it? Because it was supposed to be Cheron LaHashem. So let's dig a little deeper on that, which is, wait a second. Why is it that initially they were supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash, but they're not supposed to build Yericho? Because if you look in some of the more in more of the deeper Sfarim Al Pisod that I don't really understand, but maybe on just on our own level, the walls are the keys to Yericho. What does a wall look like? Imagine a walnut. The fruit is on the inside and the husk is on the outside. So there's a medrash called Yalkut Ruveni who explains that Yericho is what they call a pisod, the klipa of Eretz Yisrael, the husk, the barrier. In our world, the Rebbe Shlom created it in such a way that there are husks and then there are kernels of light. And that to get to the inside, the spiritual core of something, first you have to break away the husk. So the Yalkut Ruveni is teaching us that the walls surrounding Yericho, these cycloptean, incredibly strong walls, they represent the husk, the klipa that was surrounding Yericho. But now we understand, it's not just surrounding Yericho. What's it surrounding? All of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. So breaking the klipa of Yericho was really breaking the klipa of all of Eretz Yisrael. This idea of walls representing klipas appears also in the Sfas Emes, elsewhere. How did they break this klipa? Did they break it with sticks? No. They broke it with a ring of seven circles, seven hakafos. Take a look on the bottom in your last source. The Yericho Sogeres Umisugeres Mipnei B'nei Yisrael. Now, we have a much better understanding of this pasuk. Not only was Yericho sagur, sagur means it was closed, it was misugar, it was really closed, because this is the nagra de Eretz Yisrael. This is the klipa, this is the barrier between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God sets up for the purpose of us breaking through it to get to Him. But it was such a strong klipa, it's the klipa of all klipos. Ein yotzei ve'ein ba. There are some klipos that are not such bad klipos. So for example, you know, breakfast. Breakfast has klipos because it's physical. I drank orange juice. So the orange juice doesn't have the peels of the orange juice. It has spiritual klipos. It has a barrier because it just nourishes you physically. But when you say a bracha, so that bracha raises up and redeems and validates the spiritual quality of this orange juice that otherwise would be stuck in a klipa. Yericho is mamish sogeres and misugeres. There's no way to penetrate it. It has cycloptean walls from antiquity, from the ancient Canaanites. It's so deep from when the Rebbe Shlom created the world. He said, this is going to be the Shar, the Mafteach. Vayomer Yehoshem el Yehoshua, re'ein asati b'yotcha es Yericho ve'es malka gibor yachal. They're so strong. V'sabos em es ho'ir kolan shem el chama, hakef es ho'ir pamechas kosas esheshes yamim. Walk around each day one time for 6 days. For Shiva Kohanim, so you have seven Kohanim, Yisu Shiva Shofros Ayovlim, Lifnei Aaron. So you have seven Kohanim with seven Shofros, and on the seventh day you should go around seven times, they'll blow on the Shofar. V'hoya b'mshoch b'keren Ayovel, k'shamachem es kol ha-shofar, yariu kol ha-am truma gedola. And what's going to happen? V'naflo chomas ha'ir tachteh v'olu ha-am ish negdo. It's a spiritual conquest. They don't need to lift one sword, not one musket, not one rifle. On what level? It's on the level of seven. It's on the seventh day with seven shofars, with seven kohanim, and seven circuits. What's the pshat? Because the Yalkut Ruveni explains that there is a tikkun that's happening here. There is a fixing. There is a spiritual path that the Rebbe Shlomo put in the world. And that's what we call Malchus. Malchus is the seventh of the attributes of Hashem that relates to the world in which we function, which we live.
What do they do on Shabbat?
What's that?
What do they do on Shabbat?
Meaning?
With the Shabbat, how can they do that even on Shabbat?
It's only Nisa Drabanan. Good. The number seven represents the concept of fullness, of completeness. That's why it says that it was Migadol Va'ad Katan. Because seven is the fullness of our world. It's 7 days in the week and seven musical notes and seven. Seven represents the sphere of Malchus, of completeness, of the expression of God in this world. So Hashem Yisbarach, the Rebbe Shlomo told us, he said, this is the strongest klipa of all. So to combat that, you need to bring out the fullness of sanctity. Because wherever you find a very strong resistance on spirituality, it means that inside there's something very spiritually special that you can find, that you can mine. So the Rebbe Shlomo says, I'm going to bring out the sphere of Malchus, of kingship, of this, all seven dimensions. It's all coming out. So we're going to combat these walls, these seven barriers. Think about it right now. Why do we say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times on Motzei Yom Kippur? Because we imagine as if Hashem Yisbarach, the special divine presence that we have, is going back and retreating to the heavens through the seven Rekiyim, through the seven heavens, which are seven barriers, thick walls that we're trying to breach between us and Hashem. That's why the stories of Rav Nachman, there are seven beggars. They're always this number seven, because the seven is the sphere of Malchus that represents the seven barriers between us and Hashem that we can break down. These are the walls of Yericho. So the Rosh Hashanah says to him, this is Admas Kodesh. Yerushalayim is the city of Malchus, of kingship. Yericho, says the Yalkut Ruveni, is also the city of Malchus. It's the Malchus to Kedusha. It's waiting. This number seven is waiting to be emancipated from the clutches of the Klipos. That's what the conquest of Yericho is all about. Now I can understand something else, which we don't have time for today, and it's very deep, and it's probably beyond, way, way beyond what I can understand. But the word Yericho also comes from the word Yareach, the moon. And Malchus Beis David, what do we say when we have Kiddush Levana? Malchus Beis David is compared to the moon. So Yericho and the Yareach and Malchus are all connected to each other. All right, that's for another time. But think about it for a second now. Why is Yericho connected to the concept of Reach? Because Reach, the Gemara says in Brachos, is a purely spiritual sense. On Motzoi Shabbos, physically, we're fine. We had Cholent, we had a Kiddush, we had Shaloshidus. It was wonderful. We feel physically good, but we feel spiritually lacking. So what do we have? We have something called Besamim. Because Besamim give you, the Gemara says, call an neshama. What's the neshama getting? It's getting a shtickle of Reach. Because Yericho is the city, which is the city of the scent, of the spirit, which is it's encapsulated, it's trapped by the walls. And our job in life is to break through the walls of Yericho and to bring out the scent, the Reach that's on the inside. That's the concept. It's the spirituality within. It's the Yerushalayim that's trapped between these walls. It's all of Eretz Yisrael that's in between these walls. So now we can go back and understand why Yericho should never have been rebuilt. Because what was not supposed to be rebuilt? The walls, those klipos, those are, at least in our realm, unredeemable husks. Those are walls that are supposed to be smashed and broken forever. And we are then supposed to move through Yericho to Yerushalayim. But either way, the fact that they rebuilt it doesn't take away from the fact that the place is mechuvan keneged Yerushalayim. It could be that the rebuilding, some point out that you could argue, the rebuilding of Yericho was leaving a foothold for the klipos to come back. Yericho has some connections to Babylonia, and we have a very long history with Babylonia and the Beis HaMikdash, which is not for today. But we started with three questions, so I want to make sure that at least we come back to where we started. Our third question was, why is Yericho connected to the Beis HaMikdash? So now we understand very well. Because Yericho was the gate and encompassed all of Eretz Yisrael, at which, in whose heart is the Beis HaMikdash. Why is Yericho the Reach, the place of smell? Because Reach is the spiritual core of something. And so the spiritual core, which is surrounded by the husks, by the walls, is what we're trying to breach and we're trying to get to. But now we also ultimately understand the first question, which is why is Yericho so connected to the idea of the walls? And why was Yehoshua insistent that nobody take anything from Yericho and that nobody rebuild these walls? And that when he rebuilt it, what did he rebuild it? At the end, with Suguv, Hitziv Dilosel, he closed the doors. Why the doors? What is the symbolism? What's the message of the doors? It's because Yericho is the locked door. That's exactly what Yehoshua was trying to forestall. He was trying to tell everybody, we have opened the gates of spirituality in our lives. We have broken down those seven barriers, those thick cyclopean walls. Don't rebuild them. Stay away from them. It's going to all be cherem la'ashem. Ultimately, the purpose of breaking down these barriers between us and God is to get us closer to Hashem. The barriers are just imaginary. Vaharaya, when we stood outside Yericho, no one actually had to break it. The Baruch Shalom said, if you're committed to me, if you are following all the processes, they'll fall down on their own. And that's what the Chassidim teach us, which is that it looks like there are walls between us and God. It looks like there are these huge, thick barriers. But when we follow the Ribbono Shel Olam around in that circle through the Bechina of Malchus, then we realize actually the walls fall away on their own, and we can maintain that special connection of the Reach, the spiritual connection that we have with God. Shavua Tov. Any questions, feel free to come on up.